Joshua chapter 3, and this is God's word to us this evening. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." Amen. This is God's word to us this evening. Together, before we think on his word this evening, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to praise your name in song and in prayer. We thank you for your word which we've read together. And now as we come to think on that more deeply together, we pray that you would lay aside all distractions, all cares and all concerns, and that you'd allow us to focus in on you and your word this evening, that you would encourage us in our Christian lives, that you would encourage us in our walk with you, that we might indeed continually move forward by faith. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the joys of my Christian life has been reading regularly biographies of Christian men and women of faith who were and are being used by God to challenge the church and to change the world. They're people who have heard a call of God upon their life and by faith have moved out, have moved forward, and have gone where God has called them. A man by the name of Hudson Taylor, for example, approached the mission societies in London in the 1800s, desiring to be sent to China. He was a man who was sick from birth and never completely overcame his illnesses. He was a man who had little money, but firmly believed that God would provide. He was firmly convinced that God had called him to go to China to teach about Jesus. And he had a new idea. Instead of focusing on the coastal cities of China, as all missionary societies were doing and had been doing, he wanted to take the gospel to where it had never been before, right into the heart, right inland to the centre of China. Hudson Taylor went to many missionary societies. He was rejected by all of them. "He is too sickly," some said. Others said that his ideas were too outlandish. Others felt that they would declare him worthy to go to the mission field, not some voice speaking in the missionary's head. But Hudson Taylor was determined to do what God wanted him to do, even if nobody would send him. And so he established his own missionary society called China Inland Mission. In his society, the only people who would be sent are those who know that God had determined that they would go. In CIM, they wouldn't wait for the total money to be brought in before a missionary was sent out. If God was sending them, God would provide the money in his time. And soon, a little money was gathered for the new society, And they sent their first group of missionaries to China with Hudson Taylor at the head. Hudson Taylor heard the call of God and he went forward by faith. As we return to Joshua this evening, we're at chapter 3 and on into chapter 4 next time round, where we discover that Joshua and the people are moving forward by faith. 40 years ago, Joshua and Caleb had returned from spying out the land of Canaan with 10 others. The 10 others were afraid and they advised against going in. They were afraid of the giants, big and tall. Joshua and Caleb put their faith in God and said that they could take the land. However, on account of the lack of faith of the 10, the Israelites would wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years. That time is up. Joshua is the new leader of the people, and God has told him to be strong and courageous, for he will always be with him. Joshua sent 2 spies into Canaan, only 2 this time, and into Jericho in particular. And they've come back with that good report. Verse 24 of chapter 2, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Now is the time to go and to claim their inheritance. Now is the time to follow God fully and completely, to walk into the land that God had promised Abraham all those years before. Now is the time to go forward by faith. And as we begin chapter 3, we discover 3 essentials for moving forward by faith and claiming all that God has for us. Now, the word of faith, the walk of faith, and the witness of faith. And we begin with the word of faith this evening before picking up the walk and the witness next time round. Joshua and the children have moved up from the city and they've approached the Jordan. They've set up their camp by the banks of the river. And as they're sitting, they must be wondering to themselves what Joshua had planned. He certainly couldn't ask them to cross the river here and now. They couldn't swim or ford it. Normally this would have not presented much of a problem to them, since the Jordan was only 100 feet wide at Gilgal where they now were. However, it seems that God always does things in such a way that no man can boast of having done it on their own. This crossing would be no exception. You see, God brought them to the Jordan River at the time of the harvest. Later on in verse 15, which we didn't read on to, we read that it was harvest time. Those who have been there during the harvest time tell us that the Jordan swells to an impassable width of over 1 mile. It was 50 times wider than it normally would have been during the rest of the year, 50 times wider when the children of Israel have arrived there. There was no way they could cross the river on their own. They needed supernatural help. Like Moses before him, Joshua received the orders from the Lord and he obeyed them by faith. Romans 10:17 reminds us that consequently faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Here in these first 13 verses, we see the word of faith as it comes through in different ways for us. Firstly, there is a challenge. The officers come and give orders to the people. And these words centre around the Ark of the Covenant. You'll remember the Ark of the Covenant was there to symbolise God's visible presence on earth with his people. Inside the Ark were the stone tablets containing the commandments. The people carried, very carefully, the Ark of the Covenant wherever they went. It was carried at the front of the procession as the people had wandered through the wilderness. And now they're being challenged to follow it once more. 16 times in these 2 chapters, chapters 3 and 4, the ark is mentioned. It is central to God's work amongst the people. What follows was designed to help them follow the leader better. These are the same things that we need to hear this evening that will help us to follow the Lord better as well. Verse 3, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. The first part of the challenge is to watch for the ark. They are to be alert and to watch for its movement. They've watched before and they've followed before. And here they're challenged to be ready. They're challenged to watch for the priests, the Levites, moving the ark out. And there's a valuable lesson for you and I there, isn't there? We would do well when we face times of crisis or when we need direction in our life to learn to be sensitive to the movement of the Lord in and around us. To watch out for God. Where's God at work? Where's God leading? What's God saying to us? Are we watching out for God? The children of Israel were challenged to watch for God. But not only were they to watch, but they were to move when he did. They were to pursue God. And so the challenge is to watch for God and then to follow God. As soon as the ark moves, you move and follow it was the order given. And the lesson for the believer is that it isn't enough to know what God is doing. There comes a time when we must move out from our positions and when we must follow. Move out and follow God. This may require us to move out from our comfort zones. Israel was about to follow the ark through a river. Through a river that was over a mile wide. That couldn't have been an easy thing, but it was a necessary and it was a right thing. And friends, following God may not be the easiest thing that we will ever do in life. But it will be the best thing we ever do. If you ever expect to get past your obstacles, if you ever expect to enter your Canaan, your promised land, we need to learn to follow God. And in the midst of the challenge of watching for God, in the midst of the challenge for following God, they're reminded here about honouring God. The ark is a special sign of God's presence. The Levites are the only ones who are allowed near it. And here the Israelites are reminded that they are to remain 1,000 yards behind and not to go near the ark. Now one very good reason for this would be so that they could see it and so that they could follow it. But they're told they will know which way to go if they follow the ark, as they have not been that way before. So they need to watch for it. But more than that, they are not to get too close. They are to honour God by keeping back. What's the relevance for us? Well, a little reminder, I think, that we ought never to come into God's presence lightly and unprepared. We are sinners who are only allowed into his presence on account of God's grace and mercy as shown on the cross of Calvary. We ought to come before God in reverence and with a holy fear. So the word of faith is about a challenge. The challenge to watch for God at work and to follow closely behind by faith. Joshua now comes to the people and he issues them with a command. Verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. Consecrate is translated in other versions as sanctify. To sanctify means to make holy, to purify from sin. For the Israelites, this referred to being sure they were as clean and as holy as possible. They were to put away anything that was displeasing to God. They were to examine themselves and to get ready, for the Lord was going to do something great among them. And the pattern for sanctifying oneself in Old Testament times, certainly if we use the experience of the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai to go by, Exodus 19, and you can scroll back there later on, the example there meant that everybody bathed, that everybody changed their clothes, that the married couples devoted themselves fully to God. You know, we bathe and we shower often. In fact, most of us probably do it every day in life. We change our clothes every day in life. Sometimes, especially if you're my daughter, you might change your clothes 3 times in a day, just for different periods of what's going on during the day. Water was a luxury for the children of Israel. So in biblical times, the imagery of washing one's body, changing one's clothes, symbolized making a new beginning with God. Since sin is pictured as defilement, God has to cleanse us before we can truly follow after him. Joshua commands the Israelites to consecrate themselves before God.
In order for God to do amazing things before them, they had to be clean. They had to confess their sins. They had to make atonement for them. Then God would work those miracles before their eyes. Just as he had parted the Red Sea so they could escape Egypt, so he would part the Jordan River and take them into the promised land. And that would only be the beginning of the amazing things that God would do for them in the land. He would defeat their enemies. He would enable the tribes to claim their inheritance. I think we see both an order and a promise in this verse. The fulfillment of the promise depended on the obedience of the people to the order. If they would consecrate themselves, if they would confess their sin, if they would receive forgiveness for it, then God would do amazing things among them. Some of God's promises that we read in Scripture are unconditional, and all we have to do is believe them. Other promises, though, require us to meet certain conditions. And in meeting those conditions, we're not earning God's blessings. What we're doing is we're making sure our hearts are ready for God to work. If you and I ever expect to get past the Jordan experiences of our lives, the Jordans that arise before us, we're going to have to learn that one of the first things we must do is examine our lives to make sure that we are as clean as possible. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 11, one of those chapters, those few verses that we use often as we come to the Lord's table. Paul says there is a need there for us to examine ourselves before we take the bread and the wine. We are daily to look at our lives and to confess our sins before a God who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The command that comes as part of the word of faith here is to make sure that we've confessed our sin before following God in faith and with his help overcoming the obstacles before us. Joshua then gives the command to the priests in verse 6. The command there is to take up the Ark of the Covenant and to pass on ahead of the people. The priests, as we've thought, were the ones who always carried the Ark. They led the way as God directed them. Once more, Joshua tells them to pick it up and to move forward. Now, I wonder what they thought. They saw the Jordan River in its full harvest time flow before them, and they were about to get their feet wet. They probably thought they were going to get an awful lot more wet than just their feet, it has to be said. Indeed, they would get their feet wet, and they had to get their feet wet before God would open the waters. The priests would also have to stand in the middle of the riverbed until all the people passed over with the waters firmly held back by God. When the priests arrived on the other side, the waters would return to their original position. Do you know, it must have taken faith and courage. Faith and courage for those priests to do their job. But they trusted God. They relied on the faithfulness of his word. They heard the word of faith. They heard the command from Joshua. And they picked up the ark. No questions. I wonder how often we obey the command of God. I wonder how often we remember the word of faith. How often do we trust and obey even when we do not see what lies in front of us? It's certainly easier to go forward by faith when we receive words of faith, isn't it? And so as we see the words of faith and the challenge and the command, we finish with the words of faith that come through in verses 7 to 13 with the commitment. The word of faith has been shown by the challenge of the officers. It's been shown by the command of Joshua. And it's concluded here by the commitment of the Lord. And this is where the strength and the courage comes from to move forward. God and his promises to us. In verse 7, God comes and he speaks to Joshua, encouraging him and reminding him that he is the one who does the leading and the guiding. Reminding him that he is with him always as he had been with Moses. And giving instructions as to what to do next. In verse 8, God says to Joshua there, "Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edges of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." That's all we read here. But I'm pretty sure that Joshua probably expands on what he's been told as he speaks to the children of Israel. God has told them the rest, and just as well. If I was one of the priests, if I was told simply to go walking into the water, I'd be a little bit afraid. But their faith comes through because of the commitment of God that follows. In verse 9, Joshua speaks to the people. And notice the first thing that he does. He lifts their eyes to God. He could so easily have said to them, listen to me, and this is what we will do, and this is how we will survive. But he doesn't magnify himself. He magnifies God. He says there in verse 9, come hear and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is all from God. It's all about God. Friends, the best thing we can ever do for people is to point them to God as well, to lift their eyes to Him. All I ever seek to do Sunday by Sunday is to preach His Word, pointing us to Him, giving Him the glory, the honour, and the praise. It's not about me. It's not about any other preacher who might stand here in the pulpit. It never will be. And thank goodness for that. It's all about God. It's about His love, His grace, His mercy. Joshua explained to the people that God would open the river as soon as the priests, bearing the ark, put their feet into the water of the Jordan River. Not a moment before and not a moment after. As soon as the priests put their feet into the water, carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord their God, would God stop the waters and pull them back, so that they might walk through. Joshua also here ordered each tribe to appoint a man to perform a special task that would be explained later in chapter 4. God was going before His people. He would open the way. God was making His commitment to the people here. He commits to stopping the waters as soon as the priests step into them. Verse 13, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. What a sight that must have been to behold. The waters coming downstream fast and flowing because it's harvest time. And instead of just being a small distance wide, it's almost a mile wide because of the flowing waters. And suddenly they stop in their flow and they build up into this big bank, this big heap of water, which presumably grew taller as the people walked through the river. Amazing. This message to the Israelites reminded them that getting across the Jordan River did not rest on their shoulders, but on God's. It was His plan to take them over, and it was His problem to overcome. In these verses, He makes them a promise and tells them that He will bring them through in a powerful fashion. God here commits to bringing His people into the promised land. All that was required of the children of Israel was to trust and obey. May I remind us this evening that things haven't changed one little bit. If God could be trusted in those days to keep His promises, then He can still be trusted today. Often we're unable to get past the obstacles in our lives because we live a life that exhibits a deep lack of faith in the promises of God. How do I know that? Because of the worry and doubt that marks the lives of the people of God. We worry over tomorrow. Yet the Lord has said in Matthew 6 and 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We worry not only of today, but we worry over material things. Yet the Lord promised in the preceding verses in Matthew 6 there that we need not worry about what we eat or drink, because God provides for His creation, and He points to the birds of the air. He also says in Philippians 4 and 19, my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We worry about various things in life, yet the Lord has promised in Hebrews 13 and 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We worry over things, yet the Lord tells us that all of our worry is sin and that our duty is to trust Him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about what? See if you're awake. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The bottom line is this. Jesus is all-powerful. He is all-knowing and He is ever-present. He knows what we're going through. He knows everything there is to know about it. He even knows more about it than we do ourselves. And He says to us, Romans 1:17, the righteous live by faith. Do you know, it's time for us to forget the doubts. It's time for us to forget the fears. It's time for us to forget the worry. It's time to hear the word of faith, just as the children of Israel did, to hear the challenge, to hear the command, and to hear the commitment of the Lord. And it's time for us to keep moving forward by faith. Where is God leading you as an individual? Where is God leading us as a church? Let's continue to hear the challenge as we keep looking for God at work. And let's commit to follow Him wherever He leads. Let's hear the command and simply trust and obey. Let's hear the commitment from God, His promise to be with us always. And let's move forward by faith. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for all the promises that You've given to us in Your word. And Lord, we just ask that You'd forgive us for those times when we worry, those times when we doubt, those times when we fear. Lord, help us to put our trust wholly and completely in You. Help us to depend upon those promises You've given us in Your word, never to leave us nor to forsake us. Help us to depend on those promises that You will supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. Not all of our wants, all of our needs. Lord, help us to see the faithfulness that You showed to the children of Israel and the challenging command that was given, but that commitment of Yours that as soon as they put their foot in the water, that You would stop it. Lord, help us to have their faith and help us to move forward in faith this evening. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.